Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
So Brandon finally gave in, but he made me promise to keep it under 25 people max.
That's cool, as long as we meet our quota of cute guys.
I've got to be at that party.
Have you ever heard of the word obsessed?
Hello, everybody. This is Again With This, Beverly Hills 90210 edition. Today's episode is Season 1, Episode 11, BYOB. And now your hosts, Tara Ariano and Sarah D. Bunting.
Hello, Sarah.
Hello, Tara.
As we mentioned at the top of the last episode, you were not here for the geriatric affair episode when you were on vacation, but here we are with BYOB and a B story that once again involves Jim and Cindy's sex life.
Yes, that last B apparently stands for barf.
I thought you were going to say boning, either way.
Okay.
Let's dispense with it
Braying.
Quickly, as much as I assume they did. Jim and Cindy are going to a retreat for Jim's job in Palm Springs. They have an adjoining room with a couple of creeps named Trudy and Bob. Jim is really looking forward to this trip because he's super horny about being at this hotel without Cindy. Cindy is wet about the amenities. It's all going well for everybody until it comes at the door and the adjoining rooms is broken, as if that would ever happen in a hotel. Bob and Trudy keep showing up, and when Jim and Cindy finally escape to the hot tub, we get clip number 2.
Honey, I see Trudy.
Where?
Over there.
Quick, let's duck down.
It's no use. They're wearing robes. They're coming this way.
Let's get out while we still can.
Oh, honey, we can't do that. They've already seen us.
Either I get out, or I kill them.
Just don't be rude.
Honey, we must be on the same wavelength. We have been looking all over for you lovers to see if you want to take a little splish-splash with us. And here you are, right where we were hoping you'd be.
Actually, we were just getting out.
Oh, now don't you be no party pooper on me, Jim Walsh. The fun is just starting.
How are you tonight, Cindy?
Oh. I'm fine, Bob. How are you?
I'm game.
Speaking of games, we've got a tennis game tomorrow.
Oh, come on now, Jimbo. I've been waiting all weekend to go around the goosey, goosey, ducky, ducky with you.
What's she talking about?
I don't know. But, honey, Trudy and Bob aren't wearing bathing suits.
I missed until I actually clipped that, the Jim. Oh my God.
That is a ringtone. Yeah. Thanks, Eckhouse.
It's a pretty good line reading under the circumstances.
What is up with those accents?
Yeah.
Wow. Are they cartoons? Are they animated in this episode? Did they come in and are like...
Kind of.
Wow.
There's some gifs of them because Trudy, when she starts to undo her robe, does a little flippy thing with the tie. It's all very, as Dave says, extremely cartoonish. And kills Jim's boner dead. So thanks, Bob and Trudy. Clip number 3.
Want to try again?
Why beat a dead horse?
Oh.
Every time I close my eyes, all I can see is Trudy and Bob begging us to play Bucking Bronco.
They seem so normal. Well, I mean, I know they were a little too friendly, but who would have thought that meant they were
kinky?
Oh,
who's calling? We'll have to find out.
The A plot. Better pick up.
Yes, it is. So in the A plot, we start out by finding out West Beverly High has party fever. Donna's parents are going out of town. She's throwing a party. Kelly and Donna are weirdly coy about having Brenda ask Dylan to come as if they haven't all known each other for, like, at this point, 11 years, but whatever. Brenda goes over and we get clip number 4.
Donna's having a party tonight. You want
to
go?
I just made plans to surf Baja this weekend.
You'd rather go surfing than be with me.
You want to come along?
You hate parties, huh?
I'm better one-on-one.
Not true. But I don't understand why Brenda has to immediately go to that. Like, you'd rather surf than be with me. Like, it's apples and surfing. Don't do that. And also, you're not boning yet. Don't do that. And don't do that and shut up.
And also, you've been dating for like 10 minutes. Like, maybe back off.
Yeah.
Clingerina. Anyway. So nice. Brenda wants Brandon to drive her to the party because, as mentioned in the last episode and every episode, Brenda does not drive. And the way she convinces him to do it is by planting kisses all over his face. Again, creepy. So they go to the party. Donna's house, of course, this is the first time we see it, and it's exactly as ostentatious as you would think. Brenda's party look is ridiculous, but I have to give it over to Sarah to talk about Kelly's hair.
Oh, God. Okay. Well, listeners of other properties of ours know that that Gibson girl top knot is like my sworn enemy. I just hate it. And yep. Then Kelly has like random strings pulled down from it. And actually, I think I had those earrings. I got them at Express. Those are okay. But the hair is just really, it's just terrible. I actually kind of like Brenda's look. Like, it's really dated, but it suits her. She's entering her like maximum shiny hair period right now with the perfect bangs that I coveted.
Her bangs are great. The scene where she's asking Dylan, she looks, her hair is 100% on point. I agree.
Yeah. In this scene, however, she is wearing a belt buckle that has other smaller belt buckles orbiting it. It is gigantic, and I'm pretty sure I own that belt buckle also.
I mean, I get the idea of it because it makes her look teeny tiny, because the buckle is like half the width of the front of her waist, so I get it, but at the same time, no. So there's a little bit of talk about drinking because everyone's drinking, and we get to clip number 5.
Kelly, I thought you didn't drink. My mother drinks. I sip.
Kind of a good line. I don't mind it. Which is a good thing because it comes up again. But Brandon is one of the people who's not drinking, so Steve and some random idiot that ends up dancing with Donna later making a stupid face have to discuss Brandon behind his back, in clip number 6.
Man, Walsh is a major buzz crusher.
True!
Not for long.
No, you got 10 years of this shit.
He's gonna taste that.
No, he won't.
Blender.
That's the sound of deception, as Brandon's virgin mango margarita is not so much virgin as he thinks. And furthermore, mango margaritas, this is what you're serving, Steve?
Yeah. And why on earth, as far as I'm concerned, everything that happens now is Brandon's fault. Because why on earth would you trust Steve, of all people, to make you a virgin margarita when he says he's going to?
Yeah. This is more good advice for young people who are not listening. Don't let anyone else make your drink at a party because you don't know what they're going to put in it. So Steve does sneak booze into Brandon's drink. He does drink it and has no idea. Gets the eyes from this woman in blue satin.
Opera gloves? Why?
Yeah, everyone is really dressed up for a house party at Donna's, which I don't get. Brandon mopes alone immediately, so we know he's a morose drunk, but also this is the music that's playing in clip number 7.
Wow. I know exactly who would buy this music. That is the kind of music that plays at a dockside restaurant.
Yes.
And you're there at 2:00 in the afternoon because you got nothing better to do. And you don't really
have... And
they have
cloth napkins, but they're polyester.
Yeah, oh like, you forgot
this
to rent a car.
This is WMST, Moist FM.
I was going to say, I'm pretty sure that's the soundtrack of Tootsie. It seems like it's going to segue into, and you're telling me it might be you.
Yeah, anyway. The divorcee Fern Bar Hotel music. totally. Like, nice high school rager. And then in the scene before, there was, like, relatively normal hip-hop on. Like,
yeah.
How old are these
kids? This is when they're slowing it down so that they can figure out who's taking who upstairs, which Steve ends up taking Kelly upstairs later. So, good job, terrible music, I guess. But anyway, Steve comes out at a certain point to freshen Brandon's drink, and he's like, wait, this is from the Virgin Batch, right? And Steve's like, same as before. And then we get to clip number 8.
Did you spike my drink?
Yeah. Look, we just wanted to have some fun. Let's go.
Brandon.
Brandon, relax. Look, it was a bad joke. Sorry. Just let him go. He's ruining the party.
Stay, Brandon. Come on, Steve said he was sorry.
Look, if it's such a big deal, I'll get you a Coke. No. No, it's fine. In fact, I like it.
Yeah.
Party machine! Get this man another margarita!
On the rocks!
The extra wild lines are my favorite in this. Like, the one dude's like, lighten up! Like, when that line comes in on the soundtrack, Brandon is like already chugging the margarita like he's Sarah T. So why don't you calm it down? He's got this.
So he lets himself be peer pressured. We can tell he's really wasted because he dances with Blue Glove Girl, and we all know Brandon doesn't dance. And then he drives home drunk, which, like, I know Brenda doesn't have her license, but she has her learner's permit, and she apparently didn't drink as much as he did, so whatever. But they get home, and he's already doing damage control in clip number 9.
Hey, straighten up. You know, Mom's sitting on the sofa reading that same book she was reading when we were in 8th grade.
What else have they been doing that she's had to wait up for them is what I would like to know. But anyway, Brenda makes the rookie mistake of leaning in to give Cindy a kiss. And let's just go straight to clip number 10.
Honey, the kids just got home from their party. Smelt liquor on Brenda's breath.
You sure?
What are we going to do?
What about Brandon?
Oh, you know how Brandon feels about drinking. I mean, Brenda's the one who's impressionable.
Sarah?
Could they ever give her even a micron of credit? And then Jim's like, oh, Brenda may have broken the law and been underage drinking. What about Brandon?
Yeah.
Like, let's segue this right into praising Brandon, who would never do anything bad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So the next day they put on a united front to confront Brenda about this by wearing their matching tennis sweaters to have this conversation in clip number 11.
I had one lousy sip. I think you guys are making a big deal out of nothing.
It is a big deal.
Fine. Point made. I'm sorry.
So, did I miss something?
Brandon, were you aware that your sister was drinking last night?
I think she had one drink, yeah?
Brandon, you know the rules.
I probably should have said something to her, but I didn't think it would do any good.
Well, when we're out of town next weekend, we really need you to hold down the fort and keep better tabs on, okay?
All right, I will.
We know you will, honey.
Like, I know I should have kept better tabs on her. Like, should you? Because you're not her dad. Stop acting like you are.
You're 12 minutes older and you're an asshole who just drove you both home drunk and then threw her under the bus with zero problem. Yeah. Although I will say, like, if you're busted, like, underage drinking, you're not the one who gets to take a tone.
Yeah.
With your parents, Brenda. Just
I
like
know.
Fine. Like, you're
not
16.
Only that, fine. Point made. Like, oh.
Was it?
I don't like to think about what would have happened to me if I tried that shit. Point made.
Yeah. My mother would be like, just to make sure, why don't you go to your room and stay there until you're 53 years old?
Yeah. So a week goes by, Jim and Cindy are getting ready to go on this terrible, doomed Palm Springs trip. And Brenda has told, she only now tells Brenda or tells Kelly and Donna about how she got busted last week. But whatever, they convince her to throw a party and Brenda informs Brandon in clip number 12.
Did I mention to you that we're having a party here this weekend?
Forget it.
Brenda, come on. We'll keep it small, strictly A-list like Donna did.
Forget it. What if Mom and Dad find out, huh?
They won't. We'll clean up everything before they get home. Besides, I already told Kelly to spread the word.
Well, tell her to unspread it.
Brandon, it's our turn. You know, throwing a party when your parents are out of town is practically a tradition in Beverly Hills. It's a great way to let people get to know you. It puts you on the map. You're worried about people drinking, aren't you? The rules thing.
It crossed my mind.
Nobody said we have to be drinking. I mean, other people can do what they want. They don't have the same rules as we do.
Brenda, I promise Mom and Dad...
Brandon, you owe me one.
Yeah, I know, but I don't think
Brenda, come on. Don't you get tired of always trying so hard to do the right thing?
Yeah.
Wow.
That must be why you do it so seldom, you dumb piece of shit.
Oh my God.
He's such a martyr. Oh, God. There's so much to unpack in that clip. First of all, throwing a party when your parents are out of town is not a Beverly Hills tradition. It's a high school tradition. Like,
yeah,
that's every town.
Yeah.
I also fail to see how it puts you on the map. Like, it literally does, in that people have to learn where you live so they can bring their beer to your house. But other than that, like, I don't get it.
Well, and strictly A-list, there were like 100 people at Donna's party.
Yeah.
I guess it's a big high school. I don't know the A-list over there, but whatever. And then Brenda also has gotten sucked into this idea of Brandon as like the third like auxiliary parent. Mm-hmm. And is like appealing to him, like, come on. Like, what's he going to do? Like, just invite them over and yeah, he can suck an egg.
Yeah, agree. So back at school, Brenda asks Dylan to this party. Dylan is wearing a sweater, by the way, that I cut a picture of because I 100% had it myself. Sorry, everyone. He agrees to go. Also, Andrea awkwardly asks Brandon to this play that she says is from New York, but he can't go because he's having a party that, whoops, he forgot to invite her to. But they arrange that she's going to come over after, maybe. And then we're at the party where Brenda is wearing this fucking patchwork zoot suit situation that makes zero sense. Immediately, Of course, the party gets totally out of hand because they're 16 and that's what happens, and is exactly why I never threw a party when my parents were out of town, because I was too scared.
Can we, first of all, I'd like to also mention, and we will have this, I assume, in the visual aids, that mm-hmm. she has the hair.
Oh, yeah, she has full rings.
Reminded me of the... And she just kept curling and spraying and curling and spraying.
I look like a drag
It really
queen.
Is like, yeah, absolutely. Like this Little Miss Muffet situation. And like I did have the party when my parents were out of town. I was in college. I totally got busted by a friend's mom somehow. Don't ask. Even though someone left a donut in the piano and I didn't find it till a week later, wasn't that. I got ratted out, and the only reason I'm not still grounded to this day at the age of 42 is that my grandmother, in the one last great Hail Mary pass, died and got me out of grounding. Thanks, Grandma.
Oh my God.
I was like, I have to go out and grieve with my summer boyfriend. My dad's like, I can't with you, beat it. Oh, I was the worst.
That story is my favorite thing that's happened today. Yeah, so it's out of hand. Brenda blames Kelly, and they have this fight in clip 13.
Okay, I asked a few people from Beverly Hills High, and you said you weren't going to drink. My mom drinks, I sip. There's a difference. No, there's not. Look, I'm just being social. Look where being social got you last weekend. What about you? I'm not drinking. Brandon and I made a pact. Oh, really?
She indicates Brandon on the stairs, totally drinking, obviously. So, yeah, it's awkward. And then Cindy calls. Brenda is 0% chill on the phone, and yet somehow Cindy like doesn't care or doesn't notice. Everything is fine. Cindy suspects nothing. Brandon and Steve are in the middle of doing some stupid toast where they, like, butt heads at the end of it. There's a gif, but trust me, it is stupid. When the cops show up and Brandon is unconcerned in clip 14.
Okay. Don't have a cow, man. No, it's...
That's the thing more than anything else, even the outfits, that dates that episode.
Wow.
Brandon's Bart Simpson impression.
Well, and it works, though. Like, despite the fact that everyone's being completely blatant, BHPD apparently is not going to come in, break up the party, check IDs, send everyone home, and write tickets. Okay.
Well, yeah, so this is, in the next clip, we understand why you have Dylan for a boyfriend in clip 15.
Is there a problem, officers?
Is this your house?
Yes, sir.
Are your parents home?
No. Not right now, but they'll be back soon.
Yeah, like late Sunday night?
Look, we've had calls from your neighbors. None of them are interested in attending a rock concert tonight, okay?
I'm sorry. You were right. My cousin, she begged me not to pump up the volume, but since it was her birthday, you know, I...
Happy birthday.
Thanks.
Turn down the music.
We don't want any more complaints.
No problem, officers.
Cousins.
I just love that. It's more of a visual joke, but Dylan's like, well, I mean, it's a very charming.
He's like, what do you want me to do?
Micro moment. But Dave, can we talk about the reality of this situation as people who lived next to Party House for one horrible summer?
Yeah, we were in a pretty well-off neighborhood. We were renting. We lucked into a good apartment in sort of, it wasn't Beverly Hills, but
no,
it was,
this was a house.
It was posh. And we had people renting next door to us that would have these summer parties every weekend. And after the third or fourth time of it going to like 3 o'clock at night, I called the cops and like, not the cops, but the,
the
complaint line. Well, you go through like a 311 sort of thing.
Right.
And, you know, I said, you know, there's these, and there's an ordinance that's like 10 o'clock at night. You're supposed to be down to
whatever.
You know, where 10 o'clock's the cutoff, right?
Yeah, quiet hours.
Quiet hours, normal. Yeah. And so I called them at like, I don't know, 1:30 or something like that and complained about the people next door, gave my name, a number, blah, blah, blah. And like, you know, so I just, you know, because you know when you're like, you're like, oh, justice will be swift and justice will be severe and I am at the, I am the knife's edge. You know, like, I'm going to watch this all go down. I'm sitting there at the
window.
We
seriously, we pulled chairs into our bedroom, like, to sit beside the window and watch this happen when the cops showed up. But by the way, at this point, we're, like, in our early 30s. Like, really, not old enough to be old cranks, but totally old cranks.
What are you talking about? I'm talking about L.A.
L.A.?
Yeah, I'm talking about...
I thought you meant in Toronto.
No. I'm talking about L.A. because this is also L.A. I'm just saying...
This was in Toronto.
This is my stories about L.A.
All right.
So in L.A., because we're talking about an L.A. show...
Right.
We had the party house next door doing the thing every weekend, blah, blah, like I said. And so you call them and they just prowl up the street. They didn't get out of the car. The music was really loud. They stopped like 10 houses up the street for like 5 minutes and then just took off and the music was still going. So like either they had the wrong address or just to give a shit, or like they didn't go behind the house. Like the house was muffling what you could hear in the street, which isn't really the point. Get out of your fucking car, cops. Anyways. So, the LA Police Department, priority list, like sound complaints are pretty low. Even in a good neighborhood, they're really low.
Maybe the Beverly Hills Department is different because it literally is a different municipality. Literally.
Yeah, that's
true. They do have their own police department.
Yeah, what else are they doing, right?
Exactly. Yeah. So, yeah. So Dylan decides the time for an intervention is when Brandon is already definitely drunk, does not work. And then we also get this little sidebar because David and Scott have snuck in clip 16.
Kelly's as good looking as Christy Brinkley.
Well, you're no Billy Joel.
Wow. 90s. That was like five wives ago. Did you know he got married again?
Yeah.
And the picture, an anniversary. He looks plastic in that picture.
Yeah.
It's weird.
He's not looking well, although the fact that he's referenced in this particular episode is kind of funny given about what's about to happen at the end of the scene.
But he looks so different now. He's actually like, there was a time where he looked like Rory B. Bellows from The Simpsons when Krusty the Clown was incognito, but now he's actually, he doesn't look as good as Rory P. Bellows anymore.
No.
Yeah.
It's severe. And apparently the new wife is pregnant. And
oh, great.
And she's like
12. Less than half his age. Yeah. She's, yeah.
Yeah.
Anyways.
But enough about Billy Joel. Tune in next week for our Joel cast.
Yeah.
Anyway, Andrea
it's
shows
piano
up.
Piano Man. And a lady.
Oh, gross.
Andrea shows up after her play. She actually looks kind of cute. I don't even mind her dress somehow. And we can tell that Brandon is drunk because he dances with her too, and then he gets way too flirty, and this happens, clip 17.
So, are you glad you came?
So, I haven't made up my mind yet.
Well, I'm glad you came.
Brandon, he's drunk.
So?
So? I've never seen you drunk before. And, the first time I did, you kissed me.
Why do you have to edit everything I do? I'm not a newspaper article. I mean, I finally get to a place where I can just kick back and no one can handle it.
Maybe that's because you're not handling it. Look, I'll see you Monday.
I have so many questions. Sarah, why don't you begin?
I just love you're not handling it, because true.
Yeah. But also, when would she have ever seen him drunk? This is like the first time they've ever spent together socially.
And if you just went to a touring play at some community center that your grandma got you tickets for, you need to be strapping your cocktail on like now. Like, enough with the judgy, a little more drinky.
I don't get why she's upset that he would kiss her, first of all. But second of all, like, what does she care if he's drunk when he kisses her? This is her dream come true. Like,
I know, in Margarito Veritas.
I don't get it. But anyway, they run out of booze. Steve and this extra that we never see again have this whole plan. So they're going to go get more liquor. They send Brandon out for more snacks. Like, who cares about snacks? But
yeah,
whatever.
No one cares.
He goes off in Mondale and almost immediately T-bones a truck. And then we get to that phone call we heard before in clip 18.
Hello.
Mom, it's me.
Hi, Brenda.
Sorry to call so late.
What's wrong?
Brandon was in a car accident tonight. But he's okay.
Brandon was in a car accident.
Brenda, what happened?
Wait, what's up with the Tubular Bells Halloween Killers music? Damn.
Minor chord of our favorite is injured.
He was driving alone, so I don't really know. But he's all right.
Where's Brandon now, honey?
Up my ass.
Brenda? Brenda.
He's in jail, Daddy. They arrested him for drunk driving.
I'm really sorry, Dad.
Thrum. And then he was incepted. What the
fuck? Yeah. So... something finally happened to Brandon. There was actually consequences to his actions for once in his fucking life.
For now, he gets an entire cell to himself.
In the Beverly Hills, like, holding pen, so it's like...
And then they have the, like, sad beam of light that he's, like, staring up at this tiny window. I am very surprised that a single tear was not added in post. Like, son, you got the whole cell to yourself.
Yeah, just go to sleep. Like, what's the big deal? Anyway, he apparently thinks it's the biggest deal, because this is what happens when Jim and Cindy come and pick him up in clip 19.
Are you okay?
Yeah, a few cuts and bruises in the leg.
Are you sure you're okay?
Yeah. Oh, well, now I know why convicts risk their lives to escape from prison.
Dude! You might as well have been at summer camp for how rough that looked, you fucking idiot.
Oh my God, fucking Hurricane Walsh over there. Not to steal your joke. It's like, oh my God.
I know.
This is the story of the Brandon Walsh. Simma.
Yeah, lest you think this is the end of his self-pity, it 100% is not. But
oh my
first,
God.
We have to go back to the house and... get Jim and Cindy's reaction to the aftermath of the party that they've just found out Brandon and Brenda threw in their absence in clip 20.
What a mess. This house is a wreck.
What happened here?
I invited a few friends, and it got a little out of hand.
A little out of hand? You and your friends trashed this place.
The stains aren't going to come out, Brenda.
Dad, they weren't my friends.
Well, they were at our house, without our permission, drinking beer and wine and whatever else you were serving.
We weren't serving anything. 150 extra people showed up at the same time. Some of the guys brought liquor. What were we supposed to do?
Lock the door!
Is that what you and your friends did when you went on your beer runs?
No, we went back to our frat house. We didn't go to our parents' house when they were out of town.
Look, Dad.
No, you look. You look me in the eye and tell me, how are we ever supposed to trust you kids again? We can't go out of town for a lousy vacation without you sneaking behind our back.
That's not fair. I didn't break the rules.
Brenda.
I wasn't drinking.
How do I know you're telling the truth?
Brenda wasn't drinking, Dad.
Wow, that's your tone?
I know. I read the police report. Why were you drinking, Brandon?
You don't know how much pressure there is for guys to drink these days, Dad.
What?
No, that's not it. I can't explain it.
Well, you better try, Brandon. Because ever since you threw up at Foster's Lake, you have made a big point of telling us how drinking is stupid.
You promised us you wouldn't do it again.
And I never did. Until last night. And it was only because some jerk handed me some punch and didn't tell me it was spiked. By the time I knew what it was, I was already halfway looped. Now I'm gonna have a record. So I guess you could say I screwed up.
Oh, God.
Gladly.
I guess you could say I'm not perfect.
We do.
Yep.
Nobody is. But why did you have to get behind the wheel?
Seriously.
The wheel. All right.
Vacation. Oh, sorry, Lord and Lady Grantham.
Yeah, they're way more mad at Brenda for throwing this party, which they, by the way, put 100% on her, than they are at Brandon, who they just picked up from jail for driving drunk.
And you know when's not a great fucking time to backtalk your parents about the, like, micro-truths of what happened? When they're standing in your trashed living room having just gotten home from retrieving your DUI brother from jail. Yeah. Like... And Brandon, never mind the lying, because whatever. Yes. Like, we were all teens. We all tried to get away with that. Brenda wasn't drinking, Dad. Like, this is your tone? Either of you. Yeah. Like, head down, get some baking soda, and shut the fuck up for at least a week so you don't get killed.
Yeah, I don't get why Brenda is so defensive. Like, we weren't drinking. Like, that's not the point. Doesn't matter if you drank the red wine if it's all over my white rug, you fucking dick.
Oh, my God.
So after a brief stop at school where we can see Donna, Sue Ellen, Mishkiing all over the place, Brandon goes to the peach pit to do his shift / mope. As I have in my notes, Brandon mopes around PP, new line, like an asshole. And that's where he is when Dylan shows up in clip 21.
Well, look at it this way. You were lucky. I know. I'm lucky I wasn't killed.
I was going to say, you're lucky you didn't kill someone else.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got to look on the bright side, right?
Yes.
Shut up.
Or what? The dark side. Most people think I don't even have one.
Oh, Brandon, everybody has one. You just hide it better than most.
Because it's so close to the ground.
Oh, but that's not all, because Brandon finally thinks he has something over Dylan that Dylan hasn't already experienced before Brandon, and they talk about that in clip 22.
Oh, God.
Did you ever spend the night in jail?
That's one pleasure I have managed to avoid.
It's indescribable, man. 20 minutes in a cell alone feels like 20 years. It's unreal.
Scary, huh?
No, what was scary was when I hit that truck. I thought I was gonna die, man. And I can't get that sound out of my head, and I'm sick of every... I mean, my parents have been cool, but it's like there's still this big cloud looming over my house with this huge neon sign flashing the word disappointment.
Yeah!
I know that cloud.
Why does everything I do have to affect them so much? It's my life, right? swear I feel like going out right now and getting drunk just to show him I can do what I want.
I know just the place.
I don't know how Brandon thinks he has the right to be mad at his parents for being mad at him for driving drunk and getting arrested.
And they're not even that mad, relatively. Like, it's nice that when they first picked him up, they're like, are you okay?
Yeah.
But after that, they have the right to be mad forever because he really could have killed somebody.
Yes.
He T-boned that, whatever that was. I think it was actually a Bronco.
Yeah, maybe.
Pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah.
And this isn't the only time. This isn't the only scene where he's braying about how, like, he screams at Brenda to get off his back and... It's like, dude.
Yeah, I skipped over that.
You don't get to do that.
There's also a scene where Brenda confronts him as like, that's not what happened. He's like, meh. Like, it's just, it was enough. we get the point. That's why I didn't clip it. But
yeah.
He's just ridiculous. Like, it's like at this point, and maybe forever for all I know, I haven't seen him lately, but Jason Priestley had like two modes and his only way of acting any kind of negative emotion was this, because it's all the same and it's really not appropriate.
No.
Anyway. So Dylan knows just the place, and here it is in our final clip.
Hi, I'm Katie. I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Katie.
Hi, I'm Jason, and I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Jason.
Hi, everybody. I'm Dylan, and I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Dylan.
What?
Yeah, and Brandon pulls a total like, what happened face when that revelation comes up. I'm pleased to add this to my roll of paper towels length list of incorrect portrayals of Alcoholics Anonymous meetings. Like, you don't just get up, say your name, and sit back down. There's not a roll call. It's sort of weird.
Yeah.
But yeah, that does manage to shut Brandon up briefly.
It does, although I do think this is a bit of an overreaction for someone who got drunk two times in his life, A, and B, in like a week apart. Like, I get that he was sassing about how he wanted to go get drunk again just to stick it to his parents, but that was more pissy talk than drunk talk, I feel like. So I don't know.
I think Dylan interpreted it as pissy talk and was like, actually, some people have real problems, so
right.
Check them out.
Fair enough. It does give him some perspective, and they drive Brandon home, and Brandon is astonished that there are teens who are alcoholics. And then he goes in and confesses to Jim the actual timeline of his drinking career, and there's manly hugging, and that's the end of the episode. Sarah, final thoughts?
Yeah, given how little lasting consequence this actually had for his life, like, despite the sad spinning of the bike wheel mm-hmm. in that scene with Brenda, I mean, again, it's season one and they were like checking issues off the list,
sure.
But this is, distressingly off point in terms of what they're trying to do. Like, I think the show has no idea how Brandon comes off and
yeah.
how the familial dynamics make him utterly unsympathetic in this situation, not to mention the fact that he drove drunk and T-boned a Bronco.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. We're supposed to feel sorry for him and it just doesn't land, and the acting is a big problem. I think you're right about the two modes. I think I'm just never going to watch this one again because it's rage making.
Yeah, it's really bad. It's definitely the worst Brandon we've seen since the cheating episode where he got all defensive about that too. Like, you don't get to be mad about stuff when you're wrong by any person's standards. So let's just not do that anymore. All right. Let's talk about the episode Most Valuable Player. Sarah, who's your pick?
Oh, do I have to go first?
No, I'll go first. My pick is Dylan, who actually got the cops to leave when they could have made a bigger stink about having to stop by.
Yeah, I'll go with that. My pick for this is actually Steve.
How so?
Well, because Brandon was being a total buzz crusher in a pill, and I would have been tempted to spike his drink too. Wouldn't have done it. Steve doesn't have these social controls and went with it.
Least valuable player. Brandon.
Yeah,
Brandon. The drunk driver. There's really no other way to handle it, I think.
Yeah, it's not close.
No, the twice drunk driver. We forget that he also did it earlier in the episode. It's just nothing bad happened that time.
Yeah.
And before we get to the Kim challenge.
Just a reminder that the bad, mad dad and dangerous to be a son of. The mad, bad, and dangerous to know 90s inspired t-shirt is still available for, let's say, next week and a half, probably by the time this episode hits.
Roll it up twice at the bicep for that super 90s look.
So go to previously.tv, hit the store button, and get yours today. They are limited run, 2 weeks for pre-orders, and then they are taken off, put into the Disney vault, which is weird because we're not Disney, but that's how it works.
Yep.
The other bit of news I have, which is I figured out the actual name of the Billy Joel podcast we're going to start, which is Captain Microphone Jack and the Piano Men.
Mad, bad, and dangerous to know.
Dylan is kind of a solid citizen in this episode. However, he does mention at the beginning that he's going to Baja to surf. So it would be dangerous to know if you tried to go surfing with Dylan and you did not know what you were doing, but you were trying to keep up to be cool.
He also could insist that you buy a Baja top, much like the loathed one that he styles later in the series. That is like my actual number one reason for hating him historically. It's sleeveless and horrible, and it's everything I hate about the guy. Back to you.
He could take you to Baja Fresh for a 15,000 calorie burrito. Then you could get diabetes.
Okay, good one. By talking the cops out of leaving the front stoop of your obviously loud, obviously high school party, he could endanger the lives of some alcohol-poisoned sophomores upstairs.
He also jumped very quickly to the she's my cousin explanation, so I don't know, if you are his cousin, he might try and bone you, and then you would have a flipper baby.
Oh God! Wow. That's another episode of Again with This. If you ever wanted to push Brenda or Kelly out of a plane, our next episode is absolutely for you.
Yay!
And flipper baby.
And this is your Flash the Cash DJ, and you're listening to KWBH. See ya.
Oh God.
Oh, no.
You were just so matter of fact. You're like, yeah, flipper baby. Shit happens.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.25 billion back to our customer owners over the last 8 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.